Amen. Well, if you would look in your Bibles in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Today's Sunday, March the 29th, 2026. And we are going to share bread and juice in just a little bit. If you're on the phone hookup, if you want to grab something and you could join us, bread, cracker, some water, whatever, you are more than welcome to join us when we do that here in just a bit. Before we read about the memorial that Jesus Christ instituted at the Last Supper, it's good to remember that the will of God is forgiveness and healing. And it's interesting because there's a number of places in the scriptures where both of those are together. You might remember Psalm 103, which is familiar, where it says, "Who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases." In Isaiah 53, a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, "But he was wounded for our," we're in Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him." That's for the sins. "And with his stripes we are healed." And again, a prophecy of what Jesus Christ would accomplish. And the memorial of the Last Supper had both as well. When Jesus Christ took bread and then he took the cup, those two things, remission and forgiveness of sins and healing. The two really go hand in hand. Sometimes it's a bit difficult to accept or receive healing if you don't accept and believe you've been forgiven. The two go really hand in hand. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We just read this prophecy of Jesus Christ in Isaiah. And it had said, "By his stripes we are healed." And we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, which is familiar. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self," speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." There's the sin part, the forgiveness, the remission of sins. And then it says, "by whose stripes you were healed." When it comes to healing, which we all need from time to time, right? Let's take a look, before we get to the Last Supper, look at Matthew 5. I had already mentioned Psalm 103, "who heals all thy diseases," it says in Psalm 103. Isn't it interesting that verse we just read in Peter, "by whose stripes you were healed," meaning our healing's already been paid for. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9, yes. Matthew chapter 9, speaking of healing, Matthew 9, verse 35. Everybody there? It's a wonderful verse. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Every. What is there that could happen to our physical bodies that is out of that category? Every. It's like Psalm 103, "who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases." That's why we just read, "by his stripes we were healed." The healing that we need has been paid for. And that's why every time you get healed, it's a gift, because it's already been paid for. So we're going to go to Matthew 26 now. I think I said that before. Matthew 26 is where we're headed now, to go to the Last Supper. And on your way there to Matthew 26, just a reminder that the figure of speech simile is a comparison by resemblance. And most of the times using the words like or as. This is like that. That's a simile. But a metaphor is a much stronger, bigger emphasis, and it's a comparison by representation, where one thing represents another. And it almost always utilizes forms of the verb to be. Jesus Christ used metaphors concerning himself in a number of places. Do you remember when he said, "I am the good shepherd"? Was he a literal shepherd with sheep? No, it was a metaphor. He wasn't literally a shepherd. There's another one that he said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Were his disciples literal branches? No, he wasn't a literal vine. So I bring that up because as we get ready to read these verses from the Last Supper, when Jesus Christ said, "This is my," when he held the bread and said, "This is my body," it wasn't literally his body. "This represents my body. The cup represents my blood." So let's read these records in the Gospels at the Last Supper in Matthew chapter 26. Right? That's where we're going? Good. We're in verse 26. 26, 26. It says, "And as they were eating," that's a good point to remember, "and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body. This represents my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" In other words, this represents my blood. And the word blood, remember the verse that says we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ? His literal blood? No, that's figurative, meaning his life poured out. This is my blood. This represents me giving my life poured out for you for remission of sins. We're in the foundational class and we just finished up with one of the great keys on how all Scripture interprets itself, which is Scripture buildup. One place may not tell every detail, but if we're talking about an identical event, we can get Scripture from here, as long as it's an identical event, and put them together to get a bigger picture. So that's what we're doing. We're going to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 14. Still same exact event. Mark chapter 14, verse 22. "And as they did eat," that agrees with what we read in Matthew, right? "As they were eating. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, 'This is my blood,'" or "this represents me giving my life of the New Testament, New Covenant, which is shed for many." And then in Luke's gospel, it adds something significant. So let's go to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 19 of Luke 22. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" There's a little added information. "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.' He said, 'Do this in remembrance of me.' something to remember him. Well, remember what? Remember him walking on the water? The loaves and the fishes? No. Remember that his physical body was broken and beaten, and his life was poured out. Those two things, remember those. And he said, do this. Well, what were they doing when he instituted this memorial? They were eating, right in the middle of the meal. Isn't that interesting? It's really interesting when you think about it. It wasn't like after everything was done and then they went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said, look, I want to set up a memorial now. It was right in the middle of a meal. Do this in remembrance of me. We have one more record concerning this exact event, and it is in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. How'd Paul get this information about what happened at the Last Supper? Anybody know? Yeah. It was by revelation. Holy men of God spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Galatians, like Dave just said, I didn't receive it from man. I got it by revelation. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Proclaiming what he accomplished. Remission and forgiveness of sins and healing. The two go hand in hand. It's just amazing. As often as you, what were they doing there at the Last Supper? They were eating. They were eating a common meal. We're in 1 Corinthians. Go to chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. Jesus Christ did not set up a new ceremony or institute a sacrament or come up with a new ritual. It was a remembrance, which we would often refer to as what? A memorial. A memorial, right? Just like memorials throughout the centuries, memorials remind us of something. Like photos. Photos remind us of places or people, right? Monuments are reminders. Statues of people are a remembrance. Jesus Christ said, do this as often as you do in remembrance of me. He was instituting a memorial that he had asked them to do. And what they were to remember was his broken body, beaten, and also that he gave his life. Remission and forgiveness of sins and healing. In the Old Testament, Passover was a memorial. They would celebrate Passover every year in remembrance as a memorial to the very first Passover when they were in Egypt the night before they left. Remember, God gave Moses revelation. And what were they to do? They were to take the blood of the lamb, put it on the doorposts. When the angel of death passed over, none of them died. That blood was a covering for all of their sins. Nobody died of all of God's people. And then in the eating of the lamb that night, that was for their healing. The Bible says when they left, there was not one feeble knee among any of them. Can you imagine that many people together? completely healthy. They estimate around 2.5 million people. All healthy, walked out. That's really something. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb that year. It's just amazing. Remember what John the Baptist said? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And we can read in 1 John where God's word tells us that Jesus Christ is the full payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. It's interesting to note that the yearly celebration of Passover had a lot of very specific details in preparation, in what to cook, and all of these things. But Jesus Christ instituted this memorial at a common meal, and he was utilizing two very common items found at a common meal: bread and wine, or the cup. "And as they were eating, he said, 'As often as you do this, do it in memory of me. Remember that my body is broken, and that I gave my life for forgiveness and remission of sins.'" We go to that verse again in 1 Peter 2. Let's read that again before we share bread and the cup. 1 Peter chapter 2 really sums it up. I've really been looking forward to this fellowship this morning, and for a couple of weeks, and just praying that we all receive what we need to this morning. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness." There's the forgiveness of sins. "By whose stripes you were healed." By his stripes, his body was beaten so badly, and that paid for our healing. And Isaiah prophesied that by his stripes you are healed, and here in Peter it says by his stripes you were healed. That's why healing from God is available. Most of the time when we eat, there's usually some kind of bread and something to drink, right? We could, if we wanted to, every time we eat, we could just stop for a moment and remind ourselves, his body was broken for my healing. He died so I could have complete forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Father, that I'm forgiven. Father, the healing I need, already paid for. We could do that, right? He said, "As often as you do it in memory of me. Remember what I've accomplished for you." Why did Jesus say to remember those two specific things? So that we could continue to believe and receive the benefits of those two things. First of all, we can accept or believe the forgiveness of all of our sins that he paid for with his life, so that we don't go through life with guilt, sin consciousness, condemnation, unworthiness. It's all been forgiven. Even the really bad stuff. It's over. God has cleared the slate. We are forgiven. And then secondly, so that we could believe and receive healing. If you can't accept or believe that God has really forgiven you for all of it, it's a little difficult to then accept or believe that you can receive his healing. Two wonderful things. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we were healed." It's just so wonderful. A couple other comments, and we'll share bread together. At a fellowship like this, where we're going to share bread and the cup together, I know there's some places where part of their service is, okay, now we're going to have communion. And then, you know, people come up and they give them whatever they give them. But it's good to take a little time to review these scriptures that we just looked at, because it helps us to continue to accept or believe that God has forgiven us. It helps us to continue to accept or believe that I can receive healing from God because it's been paid for. And yeah, I know we have these mortal bodies, but regardless of what you see or hear, our healing has been paid for. We read it. God said, by his stripes, you were healed. Healing from God is still available mentally, physically, and spiritually. Scripture tells us that he sent his word and healed them. It is indisputable and undeniable that people have and continue to receive physical healing from reading the scriptures or hearing someone else read the scriptures. It's happened in the past, and it still happens today. He sent his word and healed them. It's also indisputable and undeniable that people have and continue to receive healing by way of the operation of the manifestation of gifts of healing, having someone pray for you and operate the manifestation of gifts of healing. It has happened. It continues to happen. And it's also indisputable and undeniable that people have in the past and continue to receive healing at a communion service like this, or at a simple common meal, stopping to remind themselves and remember they're completely forgiven and by Jesus Christ's stripes, I was healed. 1 Peter again, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. You and I are forgiven completely. He paid the price for that. By whose stripes we were healed. Healing from God is available. Before we share bread and some grape juice together, Dave has another song we're going to sing.
Yeah, let's turn to 125, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Thank you, Dave. We'll have a little music as the bread's going around. I'm going to pray for the bread, and then Missy will pass out bread, and once we all have bread, we'll eat together. This is similar to bread back in Bible times, round and thin. So I will bless this, and then she will pass out bread, and then we'll all eat together. Father, please bless this bread that we have as we remember our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Father, how his body was beaten badly so that we could have healing. And I thank you, Father, for blessing this bread in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The night he was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, "This is my body. This represents my body, which is broken for you, and it's for our healing." He said, "Take, eat." I'm using this. Years ago, I had like a chalice that you see sometimes. And best I've been able to figure out, their cups back then were something similar to this. They didn't have a big, gigantic goblet with gold stones around it. And now we have to search for the Holy Grail, because if we find it. So I'll be using this, and I'm going to bless this grape juice, and then Missy will pass that out. Father, we ask you to bless this juice that we're about to have. We thank you for it, and may we remember, Father, as we drink, that Jesus Christ gave his life so that we could be righteous before you, completely forgiven. So we thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Once we all have, then we'll drink together again. He took the cup after he had supped and said, "Take, drink. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for many for the remission of sins. As often as you do it in remembrance of me." Well, before I pray and close this out, Dave has another song for us to sing.
Thank you, Lord. Number 184.
That works, huh?
Yep, sure does. So here's an intro.
Thank you, Dave. Before I pray, I would like to ask you to pray, take a few moments and pray silently for someone you know who needs healing. Just go to the Father in their name and ask for their healing. So let's just take a few moments. I'm sure there's probably somebody you know. Amen. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we sure thank you for our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for all that he accomplished for us, and most especially remission and forgiveness of sins and healing. Thank you for being a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy, and a God who still heals. I pray, Father, for each person in this room, for healing for their physical bodies. Father, for those who are on the hookup, for the healing they need. Father, should someone listen to this recording at another time, I pray they can receive the healing from you, because you sent your word and healed us, and by Jesus Christ's stripes, we were healed. Thank you for the privilege of having this fellowship here this morning. And Father, may we just continue to love you and believe you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all.